Hello, everyone, and welcome to Black Talent TV's presents Beatin' the Talk. Of course, my name is Simone Jackson. I'm one of your guys' hosts, and I also have a co-host with me today, Miss Diana. Hi, Diana.
Hi, Simone. How are you?
Doing great. I appreciate you co-hosting with me today. I really, it's going to be a great interview, so I appreciate you doing this with me today.
I am so excited. You have no idea. I am so excited because our guest is just She is just so amazing, and to really be able to have the opportunity to talk to her about her work is truly a gift for us. So I can't wait. But before we get started, I just want to announce that our VIP sponsor for this show is the Natural Hair Care Expo. And we are also their media sponsor for their events that will be coming up. So I want everyone to please visit the Black Talent TV site for more information about the Natural Hair Care Expo. Thank you. And back to you, Simone.
All right. Thank you, Miss Diana. So back here at Black Talent TV, we are celebrating Women's Month. And again, as Miss Diana said, we have a great, great guest today. This amazing woman is a costume designer. She has not been she's been nominated twice for Academy Award for her work in costume designing for Malcolm X, and she's also got an Academy Award working with Steven Spielberg. She's also have worked on films Do the Right Thing, Jungle Fever. She's worked with Denzel Washington, Josh Brolin, Angela Bassett. She's also worked on TV shows Being Mary Jane with Gabrielle Union. And of course, she worked on the blockbuster hit Black Panther. I mean, we can go all day with this woman's success, but we are glad she is here with us today. Miss Ruth E. Carter, hello.
Hi there, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you doing? We are so excited to have you on here with us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm doing well.
Awesome. Awesome. It's really great to have you on here. Like I said, you have an amazing resume. Again, with the huge groundbreaking blockbuster Black Panther that is, stealing all the records, Miss Ruth. It just brought to my attention just how amazing the costumes are in this movie. So we just want to just start off with the question, what started your passion for costume designing?
Let's see. What started my passion for costume designing? I guess being a bit of an artist as a kid. My brothers were artists, and so we had art in our lives. And then, having a sewing machine in the house and wanting to create stuff, with that sewing machine. I mean, just the fact that, it was there in my room kind of called me, beckoned me to figure out what I could do with it. And having some experience in, some summer programs in high school with drama, all of those things kind of made the sum of my parts, per se. So I think that it just made sense when I got to college that I keep pursuing theater arts, and it kind of found me in a sense.
Yeah, it's actually good because, as I said before in your bio, you worked with so many great people. Spike Lee twice. I mean, twelve times. Let me correct myself. 12
yeah,
times.
Yeah, twice. I've done 12 movies with Spike Lee.
Ooh, 12 movies. Oh, so I'm so happy with that. I mean, just to be able to work with someone like him, it had to be an unbelievable process. Really unbelievable.
Well, Spike gave me my first job as a costume designer on school days. And from there, we did Do the Right Thing and Mo Better Blues and Crooklyn, Clockers, Malcolm X, Jungle Fever, The Sweet Blood of Jesus, Chirac. I have a long, long history with Spike Lee.
Oh my goodness. And it's good because, he has established himself one of the best directors, of our generation. So, you got to work with another person considering himself a great director, Mr. Ryan Coogler from Black Panther. How does it feel to be part of the groundbreaking phenomenon that is Black Panther?
Well, I think, well, you know, in the same sentence of Spike Lee and Ryan Coogler, you know, I started with, you know, a person who cared about, you know, Black history, about uplifting the race, per se. And all of us really believed in Afrofuturism. And we always wanted to project a more realistic and a very positive view of the African diaspora in this country. So, you know, when you think of school days and you see Lawrence Fishburne with a Soweto t-shirt on, and he has a kente cloth on his jacket, you know that, you know, Afro future was alive and well then. It just wasn't projected out to the world the way that the Black Panther has. So, you know, as I have been going throughout my career, you know, I've worked with everyone, Robert Townsend, John Singleton, Gina Prince-Blythewood. We've always been concerned with, you know, a true sense of our community and always some type of positive, you know, some positive vision or view of Afrofuture. So coming into the Black Panther with Ryan Coogler was definitely a feeling of being at home, a feeling of being with family, a feeling of being on the same page, a feeling of being right at the precipice of a big, big change, a shift in movie making, because we were now given the Marvel sign of approval or stamp of approval on a script that was all of our own. We now had the authorship behind a big blockbuster film and the ability to sort of tell our story the way that we see it, and also in a futuristic way.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
That's very awesome. It's amazing. Because I was reading, Ruth, in the Washington Post, where you were talking about that your costumes were feminine, masculine, beautiful, and strong, and without showing an inch of skin. Mm-hmm. I love that. And I want to know, you know, how did you come up with your vision for the Black Panther costume?
Well, Marvel is very hands-on with regards to their brand. And certain things are developed before I even start. So I'm given a framework of the Black Panther in a sketch. I'm given the framework of the Dora Milaje on a piece of paper as a sketch. And then it's up to me to take it from a piece of paper and create and bring it to life. And so all of the costumes in the Black Panther spoke to some sort of royalty, African royalty. And they were always approached in a way that was honoring people and not exploiting people. So when you see the Dora Milaje, yes, they are covered from head to toe. However, it's because they're a real fighting force. They are the top fighting force in Wakanda that protects the king. They're like the Navy SEALs. So it was very important that their uniform look like a real uniform. And I approached it from a historical point of view. I approached it from a point of view where I could honor the indigenous tribes of Africa, that I could give them a story. And I wanted you to look at, when you see that uniform, to feel the emotion of that uniform as well as the history of that uniform. So you can imagine a Dora passing that uniform on to her daughter or her granddaughter, or inheriting that uniform and being very proud to wear it. So it had to step it up a notch. You know, it needed to be something that was marvelous, and you would think that you would want to achieve that status yourself. So that was the approach of Adora. Everything, every piece, every inch, every piece of material that was used was very well thought out. As well as with all the women in the film, you have a queen, a mother, a sister, a genius, a warrior, a girlfriend, a spy. You have so much diversity amongst and amongst the women in the film. It just made sense to give them complexity and interest in their costumes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna put this out there to you, Ruth, because I saw the movie 3 times, and each time was like a brand new experience for me. And I'm absolutely convinced, I'm putting it out there, that you are going to win the Academy Award for the costumes in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, to me, I mean, when I see it, it's like, it's just so beyond, you know, magnificent and everything like that. It just, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, I still get chills, you know, down my spine. So I just like to know, though, you know, since this is going to be your, I'm certain that I'm going to watch Academy Award, you know, next year just to see you. But how did you become a part of Black Panther? What was that? What they call you? I mean, because you are amazing anyway, or, you know, how did that happen? How did that process happen?
Well, thank you for your vote, and thank you for your confidence. I'm gonna hold you to supporting me throughout the whole year, because it's going to take a village to bring me to the stage. And I think that with costume designers in Hollywood, we all are trying to achieve excellence. And I've been doing this for a long time. Ryan Coogler called me into the Marvel office to meet him, as well as Nate Moore, who's the executive. And I was one of a few that were chosen to come in and interview for the job. When I got there, I had a lot of images that I was prepared to show to Ryan, and I couldn't open them on my computer because the Marvel offices had a firewall that would not allow me to go into my cloud. So I was panicking a little bit, and then Ryan was kind of wanting to just have a conversation. And I'm kind of like working off my computer. I'm staring at my screen and I'm trying to multitask and listen, but I'm a little bit panicking because I can't imagine why I can't open up my images. And he says to me that his father, when he was a little boy, took him to see Malcolm X, and he never forgot that experience and never forgot that film. And when he said that to me, I felt like I was not just sitting across from, you know, Ryan Coogler, the director. I felt like I was sitting across from Ryan Coogler, the person, the human being, you know, somewhat the little boy who sat with his father to see Malcolm X and loved the film, and also had an endearing experience with his father. So I immediately, my guard, you know, kind of came down, and we just started talking. Meanwhile, one of the assistants assisted me with opening the images on my computer. And, you know, it was no longer stressful after he said that. We were able to sit down and have a artistic conversation about the African diaspora, about Africa, about what his desires were, and it just became very, very comfortable. And that's probably why I got the job, because we definitely were a meeting of the minds.
Oh, wow. And, you know, that's what people, what a lot of people are saying about Ryan. Not only is he gifted and talented, but he's so humble and he's so down to earth, and you just, you know, the success, you can tell, hasn't got to his head at all, which is great, you know.
Well, he speaks from his heart, And he is also very, very intelligent. He is a little genius. And, you know, he just doesn't feel the need to have the Hollywood stamp.
Right.
And I think that's what we all pick up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can. Mm-hmm. That's the vibe I'm definitely getting. But to play off of Diana's, you know, question, statement, especially about the Oscars, you know, you've been nominated twice. That being nominated mm-hmm. once is an honor, but you've been nominated twice, you know, for Malcolm X,
yeah,
working with Spielberg in, oh, I hope I pronounced this right, I do believe it's the Amistad, is that what it is?
Amistad, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm, uh-huh, Amistad, thank you. I knew I was going to say it wrong. Amistad, mm-hmm. thank you. But
okay.
Does it feel to be nominated for Academy Award?
Well, when I got my first nomination, well, let me just back up and say, when I was asked to do Malcolm X with Spike Lee, the first thing he said to me was, don't think about the Oscar, just do a good job. And so I took that advice and I kept that. And so when the Oscar nominations were announced, and I received one for Malcolm X, I was in bed. I was asleep. I wasn't sitting up waiting to hear the announcements. And so one of my friends called me and said, you did it. And I said, did what? And they were like, you got nominated. And I was like, oh, okay, thanks. And, you know, I hung up the phone because I was like, okay, what do I do with that? You know, I was a filmmaker first. And I just didn't know the value, I guess, of Oscar at the time. But I quickly learned, because that day, every florist in town was delivering flowers to my house 2 and 3 times that day. And so it was an honor to be the first to be nominated, the first African-American to be nominated for costume design. And so I took that as my badge of honor, and the honor of the Oscar coming to me, that I had been able to do something that was trailblazing for other young costume designers like me. And that's how it felt for the first one. The second time with Amistad, I was a little bit more hyped and a little bit more ready. I actually couldn't sleep that at all. And I got up early. You know, they announced them about 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I waited for the announcement, and costume design isn't announced. It isn't telecast. So I had to learn that at 5 in the morning first, and then jump on the internet and look for my name to see if I was one of the 5 that was nominated. And I was. So, you know, nominations are, it's like a freight train too. You know, there's a lot of things you have to do. There's a lot of appearances, and people will pull the tugging on you, for interviews and things like that. So, that was the first time that I really felt it.
I cannot believe you slept through the first time. That is crazy.
Yeah, I slept right through it.
That is like the most nonchalant reaction to an Oscar nomination I've ever heard.
Yeah.
But I love it though.
Well, I was like 30 years old. I think it was 1991, something like that. So this is the only job I've ever done. And I've always been concerned about doing this job as the best that I could.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've been really focused on, you know, my craft and being a better costume designer. So those kinds of things, they happen, but you know, you're always a little surprised when they happen. That's why I'm trying to knock on wood with the Black Panther and have some, and still have some surprise left in my soul there.
Right. But hey, don't be surprised if you get nominated, though. Don't be surprised if you get your third nomination. Like Miss Diana said, I'm with her.
Yeah.
I'm calling it.
Yep. Okay. All right. All right.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
So now I'm over serious. You know, do you feel with the success of Black Panther, Hollywood will finally change how it feels about Black-led films?
About what?
Black-led films, you know, the films with black directors.
Black-led films?
Yes.
Okay. So what do you think Hollywood thinks of black-led films?
It's a very mixture. I feel like they get a mixed response. Sometimes they love it, sometimes they hate it. I mean, I loved Girls Trip, but I felt like it didn't get as much recognition as it should.
It made $140 million.
True. But I feel like it should have gotten just a little bit more. I feel like, especially kind of award note, I felt like people should have paid attention to it. I felt like it kind of got just a tiny little slighted because, you know, people are kind of used to, I want to say not used to seeing, you know, black women in such a lighthearted setting like this was. And I felt like kind of got ignored a little bit.
Well, you know, it is a business, and as businesses goes, you know, your product will sell to a demographic that it feels like and looks like it's targeted for. And that is the truth of, you know, movie making. We are not necessarily always in control of, you know, who goes to see it, you know, as much as we would like to blast it out to the world. There is a certain degree of it that we are not in control of. It has to do with fan base. It has to do with demographics, that it's who the jokes appeal to. It might have been lighthearted, but it was predominantly black cast and directed by a black director. And so I think with the inclusion that, you know, we need to come up with marketing plans. We need to come up with scripts and dialogue that's inclusive. You know, it's on both sides of the coin that we can't expect, you know, our films to be, you know, paid for by a diverse group, and yet, you know, we're not going to see white films either. I mean, I'm not trying to sit here and be like on the fence either, but I think that we have to bank and redo another version that maybe, you know, it's two black girls and a white girl, you know, and maybe that'll bring in that diverse crowd that we're looking for. You know, I can imagine how Girl Trip appealed to, you know, a black audience. I went and saw it, and I cracked up the whole time.
Mm-hmm,
I can also see how it would feel like it's for us, by us, about us, and for us. I can see that, too. But the Black Panther, actually, it proves that, you know, a story is a story, that culture matters, that people can see themselves, and they can see themselves in other people. They can see themselves and they can see their culture in other cultures. And I think that's really the thing that it proves, that, you know, culture matters, that people are, you know, have some of the same stories, and we can tell those stories, you know, in any color.
I agree. And that is a very true statement. I agree. And I hope Hollywood listens to that. We can tell stories from any color, any, you know, that's true. And it needs to be shown more. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But we have a responsibility to it as well. If we want to attract the diversity that we're asking for, we also have to be diverse too. And, you know, yeah.
Yeah, that's true too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, did you see did you go see The Shape of Water?
I have not yet, but I heard that is a brilliant film. I kind of want to wait till it's out on DVD because I do believe it's still out in theaters, but I definitely want to see that.
Oh, it's better to see it on the big screen. It's definitely wonderful. Wonderful. Directed by a Mexican American, starring an African American and an Anglo. So, you know, here is our first step into diversity, where we are representing everything, and yet we haven't gone to see it. And most white people you ask, if they've gone to see Shape of Water, they say no.
This is true. We do have to continue to support, you know, these films when they come out. Yeah, I will definitely go see it. I definitely want to go see it. I heard it's a gorgeous film. I'm a huge fan of the director. Been a huge fan of the director for a while now, so I will definitely go see it.
Guillermo del Toro.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Ever since.
Yeah, he won.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah, he won.
Mm-hmm. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think one of the things that we always, my business partner, Patricia, and I always talk about is, you know, diversity and, you know, controlling the narrative too, in some sense, because I have within me as a Black woman, I have great stories to tell. My story is not like every other Black woman's story. It's a different story. And it does involve mm-hmm. diversity because that's how I was raised and that's how my friends are. So, you know, I think the thing mm-hmm. is now is that, you know, let's keep continually telling all kinds of stories, you know, that we can all just enjoy. I love a good story. I don't care who is in it, you know, because it's just, you know, really if Black Panther wasn't a great film, and it was just something that they threw together that, you know, they had this Black superhero, but it didn't have a good story, didn't have all the elements that made that movie amazing. I would say mm-hmm. I'd be the first one to say I didn't like it. You know what I mean? So I think you have a really mm-hmm. good point. It's like, you know, the story was just so amazing. So we have to really have a lot of stories like that. Mm-hmm. But let me answer this question. Okay. Ruth, who would you like to still work with in the industry that you haven't worked with, as a, you know, with a director or any actors that you would like to work with?
Mm-hmm. Well, I like Guillermo del Toro, and Tom Hardy is another one. I would like to work with Denzel Washington again. You know, there's a whole list.
I love Tom Hardy, yes. That's great. That's great.
Mm-hmm. And, I'd love to work with Gal Gadot again.
Yeah.
And, you know, just get with good actors and really good directors.
Yes. Yes. And are there any future projects that you can share with us, you know, that you're going to be involved in or that we should be looking for you in?
I'm waiting to see what happens. There's a lot of things that are coming towards me, and I'm trying to stay open and available to take the best one. And I'm hoping that the Black Panther will show Hollywood that I could be on, you know, really great projects like that I love to watch, you know, like Game of Thrones, you know, mm-hmm. like Shape of Water. You know, I just want to continue to be creative, to explore my artistry, to do some amazing research, and, you know, continue to create beautiful, beautiful costumes for people to enjoy.
Yeah, you're amazing. I was just also reading with, in this Watching Post too, when you presented your vision to Ryan Coogler, and you're waiting for like his approval, and you were a little speechless and you held your breath, but then at the end of the day, he really liked your vision. So I'm sure, based on, you know, like the outstanding job that you did, that you're going to be getting a lot of different offers for great things. I love Game of Thrones as well. So, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
thank
I'm
you.
Sure you're going to get a lot of the doors open. More flowers coming to your door.
Thank you. Thank you. That's so sweet.
And just to play off that, I would love, Ruth, for you to do the costume designing for Game of Thrones. I think that would be beyond amazing. I can't imagine what you, I can't imagine what you would come up with Khaleesi's costume. That is what I would love to see.
Uh-huh. Okay, that sounds good to me. You know, they have to bring a new city in.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd have to bring a new city in so that I could design something, because it's all set up, you know? So I think we need another type of Game of Thrones for me to do.
Yeah, for sure, because, oh my goodness, I would love to see you do design some medieval costumes. Oh, I would think that would be great. I couldn't even see it now.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
Yeah. So with the next generation of filmmakers and actors coming up who watch Black Panther, what advice could you give to them? It would, you know, since they want to one day be where you're at or be where Ryan's at, or, you know, what advice could you give to them?
Just repeat to yourself that you can, you will, and you are. And if you keep saying that to yourself, like I did, and that, like I'm sure Ryan did, you'll do it. You can, you will, and you are. You can be a director. You will do it. You have the, you have what it takes. And, you know, eventually, if you keep on the right path, you keep yourself grounded, you keep your, you keep studying your craft, eventually it will happen for you.
I like that. I do. I actually want to take that quote and put it on a shirt, because I am actually, I'm actually repeating that in my head right now. for my own self, I'm repeating that in my head right now. Thinking, yes, I can.
Yeah, you can. You will, and you are. You are it. You are it now. You are that now. You're not soon to be. Not soon coming. You are it now. So just do what you have to do to hone into your craft.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And coming off with the final question for you, Ms. Ruth, you know, getting where you were, you know, working with Spike Lee and Ryan Coogler, you know, you had to have some advice given to you. So what was the best advice given to you, Ms. Ruth?
Barry Brown, the editor for Spike Lee on many of his films, had been nominated for Madonna's video. I don't know, that one of her big videos, and he was nominated for an Oscar. And I was amazed to know someone who was nominated for an Oscar. You know, that kind of like was amazing to me. And I asked him, as you have asked me, "Wow, how did you do it? Or how does it feel?" And he said, "Just keep going. Just keep going." And that stuck with me.
Well, yeah, just keep going. You do. You just have to just keep going. You can't stop. Whatever hurdle, obstacle in your way, you just have to continue to keep going.
Yes.
So, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. Oh, my goodness. It's been an awesome, awesome interview, Ms. Ruth. I really appreciate you sitting down and taking the time
Thank
to talk
you.
With us. Diana, of course, I appreciate you being the awesome co-host that you are.
Thank you, Simone. And as
Diana.
Always, I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? You are a great host. And also, Ruth, you are amazing. I am putting it out there again. I cannot wait for the next Oscar, because I know, I'm telling you, like you said, we are, I know, I see you walking off the stage or walking on the stage and walking off with the Oscar in your hand. That's what I'm claiming.
Okay.
I'm claiming it too, girl.
Let's claim it.
Clapping and cheering.
Actually,
that sounds great.
Miss Ruth, you actually have to make us a promise. If you win the Oscar, we get the first Oscar interview. It's got to be here. You got to do it with us.
Sure.
You got to do it with us.
Sure.
You win it. You have to do it here, because this is where we start off the day.
All right. You got it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being on the show. We
okay. Thank
it.
You.
All right.
I appreciate it. Have a good day, everybody. Bye.
All right. Have a great day. And all right, thank you, Black Talent TV, for listening in with us today. Of course, my name is Simone Jackson, co-host, you know, Miss Diana McCray. We appreciate you, you know, co-hosting with us today, of course.
Oh, you're welcome, Simone, anytime. Thank you so much. Great job.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Black Talent TV, of course, if you guys ever want to advertise or talk with us, make sure you contact us at info@blacktalenttv.com. We are always here. Once again, Black Talent TV, my name is Simone Jackson, and we will see you guys again. Bye.
Bye.